I call this meeting of the Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by the moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Do we have an adoption of the agenda?
I move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Nichols?
Aye.
I was going to say, I hope you're going to be brief if you got one. All righty. Since our county administrator, somebody please mark that on the calendar.
That's twice.
Hey, I will now open the first round of public comment. Anyone wish to address the board at this time, I ask you to come to the chair, state your name and address, and keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time? No one? Seeing no one, I'll now close first round of public comments. We do not have a public, hearing, but now we're going to the budget review and discussion. And that is budget update brief. Ms. Twisdale. Just tell me which sheet you want me to start looking at.
Well, just the screen right now.
Okay.
Let's start there. This is the budget brief for your FY19 budget and CIP and 2018 tax rates. Why is it moving? I am left. There we go.
I dig it though.
That's right. We made it all out. The county administrator's proposed budget, real estate was 93.9. You can see the other rates up there that were proposed. The advertised rate was 94.5, along with the other rates up there. And we held a public hearing on April 4th regarding these rates, and we had one person speak from the public. The changes from the county administrator's budget that were included in the advertised budget are listed here on the screen. At the time, we were proposing a 1.5% pay raise, various position salary adjustments, and Foothills funding, those kind of things. After the advertised budget, we've had several changes. We received more revenue from the Commissioner of Revenue, $94,098. And then other expenditures were either added or subtracted to that advertised budget. And that's on the budget balance sheet that we've been using. This is just a synopsis of that. The operations cut you see up there is $127,774. That was what was proposed that the county departments cut out of their budget. Here is that proposed cut wedge and how it falls under each category. If the $82,000 is the amount that the departments were able to find. We put this out and asked the departments to cut as much as they could, and this is what they found. So we're still a little bit short there. And that's really all I have, other than we need to have a budget discussion.
Alrighty.
What about the health insurance? You have a big figure on that. Were we ever able to negotiate that back down some more?
No, sir. We're still $435,000.
You will not have figures on that before you adopt the budget. You need to wait for next week, sir.
Is that right?
We're meeting with them Friday morning, but it's highly unlikely we'll have the final figures after the 18th next week.
Are you still optimistic?
No. I'm 51% optimistic and 49% not optimistic, so not very much. No. I mean, it's possible it might come down a little bit. It won't go up.
I wouldn't think that.
But we've been researching, and we'll show you a little later in the brief, we've been researching all the other counties around us, and counties around us are getting 20%, 17%, 19% increases.
I heard
rates are substantially lower than most of those other counties currently, and so even with our increase and their increase, now be about level with the other counties is what it looks like. We've got a big machine. We'll show you and go through it. But
I heard on the radio this afternoon that Charlottesville, Alamar County, and us are the highest, one of the highest in the nation in health insurance. That was a statement that was made on the radio this afternoon. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but there's something going on.
So they said that Savannah County, Charlottesville City, and Alamar County have the highest insurance rates?
Yes, one of the highest in the country.
Not true.
Well, okay.
I mean, not even remotely close to true.
Okay.
I'd like to tell you, counties all around us that have higher rates than we do.
I don't know what they were comparing.
Yeah, and I'll be interested. I'll go back and see if I can find that, because it's just not even close to true. There are counties in the Commonwealth that have a lot higher insurance rates than we have as a county. There are many other counties around the country and other employers that have vastly higher insurance rates than we do. So maybe it was context, but anyway. You'll see when we show you a big sheet later on, it'll compare us to the five or six surrounding counties that we could get data on and do some charts on. And we're very competitive with all of them. We're below most of them on average. And we're sometimes higher on our contributions, the county's contributions. So we're even more generous to the employees than many of the other counties are. But it's a big mixed bag. But almost all those are on Anthem, the local choice around us.
WINA.
Okay, I'll see what radio was.
I don't know who the announcer was.
Was it morning?
No, it was afternoon.
Okay. It seems interesting. I'd like to hear the comments, but even just at the surrounding counties, we're nowhere near as high as some on different plans. So anyway. That's kind of where you are with the budget. Let me pull up the budget itself and just show you. That's great, Steve. So let's go back to the ops cuts. Remember, from the beginning, I said there's $12 million in operations costs in the county, excluding schools and excluding debt service. And so 10% on that would be, you know, $1.2 million. And as I told before, there's no way you're going to get $1.2 million in cuts because there's too many required spending things unless you've got personnel and programs. So what we did is we just put a wedge there. We took all the operations budgets that we thought we could dig into, like the county attorney, well, that's a contractual cost. The reassessment, that's a contractual cost. So we excluded things we knew we couldn't touch, put the rest of them there, and then used this $127,000 because that's the wedge that's in the budget, and just back calculated, okay, of these dollars, of these operations dollars in those various budgets, how much would they need to cut to equate to their share of $127,000? Came out to be 2.3%. So this is what the departments offered in the next column. And you can see we've got, you know, some that have gotten more, some that have gotten less, some that have gotten none, some that have gotten, you know, substantially more. But those numbers, and frankly, let me go down to the nonprofits. The nonprofits, what we put in there as a wedge, we cut a little bit of the new stuff you added, so we'll have to go through that. So it may go down even below 82. And even when we went through and just looked at cuts that we thought could potentially made to travel or funding or this or that, things that weren't required, like contracts and state or federal requirements expenditures, we only got to 110. So we didn't even get to the 127. That's a little higher than 2.3%, but that's using 2.3%. That would be the full 127, but we only got to 110. So the voluntary look was at 82.7. So in the budget, the problem with, close these off. The problem with what's there now is we have the 127 in the budget as an ops cut, but. If you accept that number from the departments, well, then you only have 82, so you've got that's 45,000 that we've got to find. And so let's say the $45,000 has to go back in there, well, then that'll make this top line dollar, the $146, worse. Now, the three things that have changed since last week are, we reduce this by $10,000. That's the personnel pay plan dollars, because there are five personnel in there that had pay raises slated because they were promotions that we specifically, when we created those numbers and put them in your personnel sheet here, on this sheet, we put those in there specifically because we thought they would be excluded from the pay plan. And so we backed down on those numbers because they will be included in the pay plan now. Therefore, we took them back down to what it was going to be. So if somebody was going to get $4,000 and weren't going to be included in the pay raise, we already took that into account. We take those into account when we pay. So we took the $4,000 down to something smaller and then gave them their 2%. That net decrease was $10,000, because otherwise you'd be double paying. Because those are the five positions that I put in there. Gail and I worked on the numbers we put in there, and I know that they include the boss up. So it would be higher than what we'd intended to provide for those positions. So that went down by $10,000. And that's why your 162 here originally last week went down by 10. We took another almost $6,000 out of the sheriff's budget. That's because this dollar value here, this wedge that was there for the positions that you approved in December to have the pay increase that he did out of savings April 1st, that full number was going to be starting July 1st. Well, the full number is actually only 44.6 to do those pay increases, and it's 50.9. So we pulled that almost $6,000 back out too. And so that's a little bit of a savings. And then we've got the blue marked on there because we haven't gotten to the full 127. So in the world of do it fast and easy, and I'm not suggesting this, I'm just showing the alternative, this shows the 146, which is up top, and the 127, which is the full ops cut, or any portion thereof. If you used fund balance for that and moved it over there, you're balanced. Now, that's the fastest, quickest, easiest way. I'm not saying it's the best way at all, but that's the fastest way. I don't know of any other revenue sources that will have any time knowledge of any time to be able to put in the budget. I don't know of any other cuts you may be interested in doing or changes you may be interested in doing. You could leave the whole 127 there and just tell the departments that's their cut and they're going to have to find it. Or you could, and then you could only put 146 there. But remember, you've already used $315,000 in fund balance. Because you used, in the previous iterations, you used
schools.
Yes.
It was right at 300.
287 originally. Yeah, 287 originally. Then added actually, I think, 13 and 15. 12,651 was just the balance you had left in that iteration. And then at the end of that budget work session that night, you had 15,000 to the negative here, and we put it in there. So that's, you know, the 28,000 is there. So between that, you're at about 315,000, and then anything else you might decide to use would go in here. But right now, the holes you've got for sure are 146, and the difference between 127 and 82, so 45K. So you've got about 200K to find.
How much is the penny worth?
292. Is it 292 or 295?
Huh?
292.
300. What the heck?
Yeah, about 300. Where's it at?
About a what? Accurate?
293,
I think. Or 297.
It's in the ballpark.
Yeah, ballpark. Let me ask you this. The sheriff talked about last time we were in here, the possibility of ordering cars now, which would save us money.
That doesn't come out of the operation.
That's not in operations. That's CIP. Were we able to go anywhere with that?
One of the sheriff's cuts that he offered, in addition to his $10,000 operating cut, was a $40,000 cut out of the CIP for vehicles. That's
if he can order them.
Oh, just a cut, I mean.
He was just trying to find money.
Right.
And so it's a savings in CIP. But the only way for him to buy vehicles this year is if the board appropriates funds this year for him to be able to purchase those vehicles.
All right. Sheriff Hess, if we were to do that, appropriate funds to buy them now, I believe if I remember correctly, you can get those for a cheaper rate now, and you know you got the equipment to fit them. Is that what it was?
Two things, yes, sir. Two things. One, we know what Sheriff can
come. Come up here, sir.
We know what the price is right now. There's a 14 week. If you tell me tomorrow and I order those cars, it's gonna be 14 weeks. They're not gonna be here until way into July. Anyway, so it's not like we're asking for them, we're going to get them next month. So you're not going to have to pay for them until after the next budget session. And the savings will come if they don't modify those vehicles and we can extract the interior components and put them in the new cars, then we can have that savings.
Rather than buying new stuff to fit.
Instead of buying new stuff, and the old stuff, if they change the interior, exterior, you're just giving that stuff away because it's not any good anymore. If we did that, it could save us right around another $10,000.
Another $10,000.
It's like right now we know that this year's Charger, well, the front end is different than last year, so that the push bumpers from the older car won't fit on there. So we already know we got to get a push bumper.
Okay.
And then, but like I say, that we can order them anytime. I found that out yesterday. Earlier today. But they said 12 to 14 weeks, and when it gets close to July, it could even be 2 more weeks because they take off 2 weeks before the July.
All right. Thanks, sir. All right. Thought it was helping, but it doesn't help down the road.
Yeah, it will help in fund balance, and it's a good, right. It's a good fiscal use of dollars, but it won't help in fund.
Right. It won't help us here. Well, Chris.
The $350,000 fund balance that's in this budget.
$315.
Okay. Same question. We'll have to make that up next year then, for the next budget.
Yes, unless you're going to have to, because this budget is what you're spending this year. That means you need, doing the same programs, the same dollar value next year. And so you either have to put another fund balance, savings account, blob in there, or find revenue to cover that hole.
Yeah. So we have to meet it next year.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the problem with using fund balance. It's one-time money.
Yeah, it sure is.
It may be a suitable band-aid in some conditions, but it's not what you want normally.
It would be one thing if we were using fund balance in the operations budget to pay for, like, maybe one-time costs or standard.
That is, I understand that, sure.
Purchases
yeah, one time is fine, but in the regular budget, it can be a problem.
Are there any one-timers in the budget? So, for instance, if that was, what's the goal for the 45K?
You mean taking out the 127?
Yeah. Did you subtract off using the
774?
Yeah, 774. One that's actually in there is one that's 774. 45, 0, 7. So this would be the alternative if you did the 146 up top and the ops cuts that people didn't find, the 45K, it'd be 191.
Out of fund balance.
Out of fund balance. Well, I mean, these are the total deaths that you got sitting in front of you right now. If it's either 146, 274, or 191, depending on how you peel it. If you want the ops cuts at full 127 to go forward, then your deficit right now is 146. If you don't want to take those ops cuts, that plus the 146 is 274. And if you take only the ops cuts that have been offered, the 82K, then it's 191.
really at this point, it's either using fund balance, cutting something, or increasing the tax rate. But since we only advertise the maximum tax rate at 94.5, that would be the tax rate you'd have to put in, and there'd still be.
Well, I mean, if you could go to 93.9 or something, but you can't go above 93.94.5 unless you start the advertising process over.
So how much money do you get with 90 if we go up? What did you say?
Well, if you went to 93.9, for instance,
yeah,
it'd be a fifth of 300,000. So
60,000. Or 59,
50, yeah. 58. So it's not going to be enough to cover this.
Right.
Are the raises starting at the...
Raises July 1st, if you cut those in half, and by January 1st, you'd be off cycle with schools, of course, but it's only a 90,000. It's actually, take 10,000. It's an $85,000 cut.
Don't we have policy and a commitment that if we use the fund balance that we have to put it back?
Only if we go below what our reserve fund.
Okay, so that's not as harsh of saying you use the fund balance if you're committed.
You can certainly use the fund balance.
Yeah, your rules allow you to do that, but it's not, yeah, not getting the red, the 8.3 million.
Here's one thing, yeah. I brought up, I guess it was yesterday.
Yeah.
If we leave the cuts at 127,000, now we've got worst case scenario right now built in for the health insurance. We just, that's the big unknown. We don't know whether that's going to stay at worst case scenario or it's going to come back in and we're $150,000 less. And my thought was, if we kept the 127 there and the insurance cost comes back to us, then we re-put that back into their budgets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the 127 right now is coming out of everybody's budgets, and if this insurance savings is, if the savings takes it below 435, you can say any portion of that that comes back, you would proportionally put back into those cuts,
right,
to minimize the cuts. And so let's say, this is not possible, let's say we save $200,000. Well, you put 127 back into their budgets and the remainder into fund balance. We'd have to do a budget adjustment, but that's not a big deal.
Right.
But that at least gives the department some time to figure out how they're going to do the budget cuts through an entire year, and you've got a couple weeks to sit on to figure out what the insurance rates are actually going to be. And if there's no savings, then people have to find the cuts, and we can mix and match and swap. And during the year, it can be handled.
Right. Okay. If something comes up and they need to come see us, they come.
Right.
Well, and for insurance, we're going to also just explore some other options just to see if there's anything else.
We're getting quotes from some other sources. We've got a meeting on Friday. We'll see the alternatives and options. And the schools are exploring other options too, including a Cigna option. And we may be closer to getting on the same plans than we were yesterday after they looked at it tonight again with their school board. So there's a lot of stuff still, and the problem is they're not ready to resolve it. They won't be ready to resolve theirs at least until next month, and we won't be ready to resolve for the next 2 or 3 weeks until we find out for sure. So it is I'm absolutely confident that the 127 is not going to kill any department, and anyone that has serious problems where we find out, oh, that's contractual, we can't, we'll find through the course of the year enough to be able to cover that.
Yes.
It's not... doesn't make it easier, because that means we have to manage it even closer, but it can be done, and if there are significant savings out of the insurance, then that could either mitigate it or take it back to...
So when are we passing the budget?
April? So if you did it like tonight, that, you put 146 here in the fund balance.
And then you take it to public... hearing.
No. We don't need to take a public hearing.
Okay.
We had that last week.
Done.
We had that last week.
And in when we do the amendment, let's say it's $200,000 difference, it's not high enough to require a public hearing. It just have to be adopted by the board, a budget amendment. A supplemental budget.
Does that mean we lower it?
No. If you change during the year, you change, correct, go back in.
Did everyone get a raise at the end of the year? Or just the county staff? Did school teachers, when were the school teachers last given a raise?
As I believe now, Mr. Winkler and the school board have agreed that they're going to take money from this fiscal year and backdate raises for this year for those that didn't get something already in the fiscal year 18, their school year, 2017-2018 school year. So essentially...
How much is that?
Essentially, about $400,000, I think. Essentially, that will catch people up to kind of the same level playing field. I know there's dips and valleys because some people are still way out, but that for this last year will catch them up. And then now they're planning on a 1.5% or 2% raise out of fiscal year 19 dollars, which is built into the budget. Mr. Winkler, is he here yet?
Yes,
I am. In theory, and summarizing that is correct. That's correct. We're not compounding that raise, meaning it's a 1.25 raise that the board actually just approved, so we'll be paying that out in April. It will be effective for the FY18 contract year. There were a number of teachers and some other staff that did not receive any raise. And also look out after our low-paid employees. No one will see less than a $500 minimum. So we do have some employees that are making between $13,000 and $25,000. But again, we're not compounding. I'm not saying, and then no employee will receive less than 2% effective January. It will be the cost of living in all of it. July.
I thought it was July.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, what if everybody didn't get the raise until January, which is what we were on?
Ours would be 85.
I would not run those numbers. It may be a quick math. I'd probably say 350 because of the split.
So that would catch up the people who needed it to be caught up, but then everybody would then get their raise in January altogether.
No, because we're not. Right. Well, that's what I was about to say. We're not compounding, and I'm not trying to imply anything here that is happening with the county. We're not compounding our raise. The employee didn't get a raise last year. We're giving them a 1.25% raise right now, okay, effective for this year. So let's just take a $50,000 a year employee. They'll be getting a raise of $625, all right, for literally for this year. So their FY18 contract will go from $50,000 to $50,625. In July, we weren't planning on adding another 2% to that, which in essence would be basically $1,000. So their contract for FY19 would not be $51,625. It'll be $51,000. So we're not planning to compound that raise in any particular way.
So if they get a raise in April, they
yes.
do not get a raise in July?
They will work to get them up to 2%.
Yes, yeah, it'll only even to the 2%. In other words, you're going to get 1.25, you're going to get 0.75 in July.
Okay.
It's not compounded.
Okay.
So I'd like to be able to do that, but that would cost an additional minimum $400,000.
Thank you for not doing that right now.
So they're not getting bonuses this year, as you thought maybe they would, per se.
That's correct. It will be an actual form of raise. There will be some of our lower paid employees, sir, that will receive some of that raise as a bonus. As a bonus. But most employees will not see a bonus.
I think when he's talking about the lower ones, he's talking about the ones. Their 2% would be less than $500.
That's correct.
They're making sure they get at least $500. So if their 2% is $250, they get a $250 bonus along above that.
That's exactly
right.
Okay. Alrighty.
So, I mean, as it stands on the screen now, at the 93.7, your balance, but that's with use of 146, 940,
additional.
Plus the 315.
Right.
So 461, 462.
462. Change.
Another question. What did we decide that the contributions of the employees would be on our insurance?
Nothing. You didn't decide anything, and nothing has changed. So that means the 435 was picked up by the county.
That's the extra, right?
Yes. The increase in cost was not attributed to the employees in this budget yet, and it's an entire cost increase is picked up by the board. Now, you're going to have a much more detailed and complicated and convoluted and long discussion on contributions and the way ahead through the summer, but that has to be also in concert with the schools to figure out if we're migrating towards the same plans and the same contribution levels. So an employee gets 400 from the schools, an employee gets 400 from the county or whatever. Because I wouldn't want to do those in stovepipes if we're heading towards the same direction. And if they're heading towards a Cigna plan that's similar to ours, or if we ended up that way, or if we headed towards an Anthem plan, your intent has been still to get it on the same playing field. So it's a complicated.
Why does the county pick up the whole increase?
Because you haven't said to do it otherwise.
That doesn't seem fair to me. It looks to me like it'd be shared.
Well, several years ago, we proposed that you set some rates, like you pay 100% of the HDHP and 80% of this plan, and leave it at 80%. So next year, if there's a $100 increase, the county pays $80, the employee pays $20. But, and several of you advocated for that, but it didn't get approved.
Yeah, my name.
That's one of the many items for discussion in the coming weeks and months, because you can do it one of two ways.
What did that amount to then, that figure?
Is no figure for that, sir.
Well, there has to be a figure for the 435.
No, there isn't. I'd have to go back and recalculate.
Yeah, you pick it up.
You've never set rates that it's different on every tier. I'll show you on the screen here.
Looks to me like that's quite an important issue.
Yes, but you cannot do it on the fly.
Well, but it should have been done then, a couple weeks ago or a week ago.
Well, I think what Mr. Nichols is saying is that, the longer, the bigger plan is to look at both the county and the schools together, and that it would make practical sense, and it would probably be a more equitable solution if it was looked at in both of those situations versus one situation here, and then several weeks later we come back and do it at that point in time. So
that's in the future.
Well, it's next year, whatever the case may be. But I mean, if you want to look at it from the standpoint of assuming, let's say, we're using portions of fund balance, we know that we've got to incorporate next year.
Tonight.
Then you're going to recuperate that money next year if you do it that way. But it's a pay cut. It's what it is, right? It is a pay cut.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. This is where your current. This is complicated. So
this is a sheet. This is the one you're looking at.
No, that's a different one, sir. This is the current plan, and let me just do one example. So this person's a high deductible health plan. It's not the ones on your sheets on the screen. So it's preventive dental with vision. So the cost per month for that plan is $420 for medical dental vision. The county pays $420 right now. No, we pay the full amount. We pay 100%. If you did the entire 30% increase on the employee and we kept our contribution the same, they would pay $126 a month, whereas now they're paying $0 a month. So divide that any way you want. And so if you want me to change the percentages, I can do that pretty quickly on here. But the problem is, right now, you're a different percentage on every different plan and every different tier. It's not 80 for the employees, 70 for the employee plus one. It's 80, 92, 85, 100, 89, 82, 100, 73, 79. It's different at every one. So it takes some measure of manipulation to put the calculations in to run that. What we had talked about before is potentially something like this, where we pay 100% of some plan and X percent of others. And if it's 75-25, then next year there's a $100 increase. The county pays 75, the employees pay 25. At least it's known. But what if it happens to be a year where it's 30% increase in health insurance cost.
So they kind of fix it up.
No, I'm not saying that, sir. You have to direct me on what you want in the budget. No one has
It seems to me that the rationale is when it's a big increase, the county picks it up.
Well, we can put it on the employees, Mr. Rationale. Weaver.
All I've asked you to do over the years is to make sure that you don't send employees backwards.
And if we put it on the employees, they're going backwards unless we give them a 10% raise.
That's exactly right.
I mean, if we want to offset it and see that they get COLA, the 2%.
Somebody makes $25,000 today, and you give them a 2% raise. That's $500. And you give $126 a month increase in health insurance. Well, 126 times 12 is a lot higher than 500. That means they just went backwards.
But is that our fault?
It's your responsibility to take care of your employees. And you can do it however you want. I'm not suggesting one or the other. I'm just suggesting that we have a responsibility to take care of your employees.
That's the problem with government. They want to take care of everybody.
Wait till they take away Social Security.
You got rid of the employees and you did pay cuts, and you did the same happen in the schools. So when we didn't have the money, it got taken care of. And again, I'm not arguing. I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just saying, if you have a responsibility to your employees, tell us how you want us to model it, and we'll show you the cost of it.
Well, I'm of the personal opinion it doesn't make sense to try to incorporate that in this budget. Just from a planning perspective, I think it would be a mistake. Looking at it and figuring out what is the right cost structure and setting that expectation. I think ultimately it's one of those things where if employees don't understand the cost of insurance, then they don't really understand the benefits that they're getting from the county overall. And so most employees don't recognize the fact that the county's absorbing that $400 or that 30% increase. In the example that he gave there, $1,400 per one employee, that's a significant increase from that standpoint. But I don't think it's fair to go to an employee right now and say, we gave you a 2% raise, but you're actually going to get $600 or $1,000 less in your pay because you're going to be paying for your health insurance. I think that's would be very demoralizing and unfair to them because they can't plan for it, especially if you're looking at somebody who has $25,000 a year salary. Their budget probably is very lean and can't absorb it.
Family plan would go up by more than $500 a month. So,
yeah. Well, I lived through this one, and
yes. We
did that. And I can't tell you how many years ago, but it went from like $250 in the school system to $915.
And the reason why you're using county insurance is because we're still on a level playing field.
Right.
Our insurance pays more for a family plan than the schools do right now. And that's one of the things we're trying to to get it to be merged. But it is not an easy thing to do in one year, and it takes work between both of us going back and forth. And if we got this earlier in the budget season, because it had been a plan we had for several years, we would have known some rates in February. We could have modeled more, but we just don't know. And the indication we were getting was our experience rating was looking pretty good until they got 7 months worth of data.
So go back to the one with the totals on there. Yeah, that one. So we stay at 93.7 and we put an additional 146. I know that's a no-no, but I mean, when something like this sneaks up on you at the last second.
Well, it's $500,000 that you're sticking in as pulling out from fund balance, which again, we know fund balance is pretty low to begin with. And second of all, you might as well just plan on incorporating that 2.5% that 2.5 cent increase into next year, because as it's already been put out, we're going to have to make it out now. Whether that comes from assessments, improved revenues, whatever the case may be, we're starting off next year with 2.5.
1.5.
One and a half. I'm sorry, 1.5. Yeah, a little bit more, 1.75, I guess.
The meals tax is gone. That's the meals tax. If it got into effect, that's the meals tax.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or any assessment increase.
But it's not. You have to have new revenue to cover that.
Right.
And I honestly don't think. I mean,
all right, Mr. Smith. Where is he?
May I finish?
I said, all right, Mr. Smith.
I honestly don't think that the difference between 93.7 and 93.9 is really significant, or anybody's paying attention.
No.
I think we're playing games, quite frankly. Personally, we've got an advertised rate of 94.5. I'm not against going to that rate myself, but I think that all we're doing right now is, if we're not taking cuts out of something else, we are playing with fund balance and or a tax figure, a tax rate figure. It's my personal opinion.
A home value of $200,000 with this tax increase would be about $60 a year, about $5 a month, because this is 94 and actually 93.7. So just on the screen, that's the approximates. It'd be a $66 annual increase, but taken down to about 60 for the 93.7 rather than 94. 60 exactly. For a $350,000 house, it would be $100 a year, 105. Not insignificant with the cost of diapers and milk and babysitting and everything else, but that's the dollar.
Seeger, any thoughts?
Is that at 93.7, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you had a $100,000 house, it's $2.50 more a month, $30 per year. If you had a $300,000 house, it's $90 more, $7.50 per month. Well, it's a 3 cent tax increase that you're sitting on now. And remember, you've had 3 cents alone in the Zion Crossroads debt service and the radio project maintenance.
Yeah, our debt service is $9 million now.
Yes, sir.
And again, to go on the radio, I noticed that Charlottesville's debt service was $11 million. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, they've been talking lately about how high theirs is.
And yes.
Proportionally, we're pretty high, too.
We're really high compared with their population and ours.
Mr. Weaver, any other thoughts on where you want to be?
Yeah, I don't want to be this high. That's where I don't want to be.
All right. Do you have a solution on how to get down?
No, I don't know how you're going to. Once you get yourself built up, there's not much you can do. That's the problem. So I'm not happy with it at all.
Okay. Ms. Booker.
Well, I think we need to do what we have to do. We have to avoid what we advertise, and that's what we need to do.
Well, 93.9 brings us down to 90,000, basically, that we'd be taking additional out of fund balance.
Yeah.
If we went 93.9, it
would. And that's assuming we don't get
it. 93.9?
If we went 93.9, it brings it down to 98,000. I mean, no, 88,000 additional.
Probably. So you could take $60,000, $59,000 off
of
fund balance usage.
So we're down to 87.
I would think there's a chance that the health insurance will come back a little under that.
That's what I'm thinking.
We're not optimistic.
What happens in 94?
The
30,000
turns.
Mm-hmm. 22,000.
90,000, 30,000.
We would have.
It would just take 30,000 more. Or 20.
Well, I think 20. She's asking what would happen in 94.
No, I think she wants you to put it in there.
Oh.
94.5.
Oh, it's only a tenth of 295, so 29,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your breaking is what, 94.3 or something like that.
If you want to get rid of the whole 462.
No, no, not the whole four. The 146 or whatever. 146.
I know why we tacked that 7 and 9 on. Why can't we just go up? 94. What is 94? What is 94? What 94? What does 94 do? Why is this? I mean, 94.2, 94.9, 94. Maybe my math is not.
I'm just asking you not to end up with a four-digit number like you did one year.
Yeah, I remember that.
You're at 88, so you take 88 off that.
You're likely to increase, whether through the assessment process or not, next year.
Well, you know what happened this year.
Yeah.
Well.
But you didn't have a full assessment this year.
Right. In the full assessment.
No, but you thought that we were going to do a lot better this year, be in better shape.
Yeah, I honestly thought the revenues would be better.
So you never really know. You know, things change.
Well, the one thing that's going to help is when we reassess and we get the full assessment.
Yeah.
The waiver is the utility.
We can get some money that way.
The utilities pay at 100% instead of 97, 98.
general money that's, you know.
Yes, sir. Hard-earned money.
Now, let me just tell you, whenever you end up tonight, you decide you're a number, you need a half an hour break. Because it's going to take us a half hour to get all the documents ready and renew the numbers and get the front sheets done and the resolutions done. So we're going to close session while they're doing that. Because they're going to have at least 30 minutes to get all the paperwork ready. It's not a uncomplicated process to build the resolutions with all the new dollars in it. And are there any CIP changes you want to entertain, or are you done on CIP?
Ms. Aker, see you digging.
Yeah. I think we can put things off in the CIP. I don't have the...
Fund balance?
Is that on this page?
No, it's on the screen.
Oh, okay.
So you remember, you only have 1.3 out of fund balance. The 150 cash is built into your tax rate, and the 647 is a wish and a hope and a prayer. That's for the grant
building,
right? For the burn building, the 480 is in there, and then other hopes for grants.
That's,
so you didn't.
The SCBA. That's the SCBA.
The SCBA is the half of that.
So if we don't get those grants, they don't go forward.
Correct. No, if you don't get those grants,
you got to pay.
They have to go
forward.
We have to.
You have to buy the self-contained breathing apparatus for fire department.
We've got to have that.
Buy them over 2 years, end one fiscal year instead of another. But it will be $800,000.
We have 597 for a half dollar amount for the SCBA. So if the grant doesn't come through, the county's paying 597.
So you didn't fund anything in the capital depreciation funds. You didn't fund anything in Parks and Rec. You funded very little in Public Works. I mean, very little. You didn't fund anything.
The fire truck.
Fire rescue, except a fire truck and a...
It's just a fire truck.
Just a fire truck. The SCBAs, we moved most of it over to grant funding, hoping. And for this, the county fleet replacement, that got cut almost completely, except for a little bit for the sheriff. And on the schools, all theirs was cut except for some for their CRM and a little bit for their fleet, vastly lower than what the normal funding is for a year. So we've gone to below bone on CIP from where you want to be at to maintain your vehicles and your buildings. And there's nothing in there that's fluff like building a pole barn or Pleasant Grove that would be great to have, but isn't essential like a school bus or fire truck or self-contained breathing apparatus.
Okay.
So I really don't think there's much more to cut there, although we'll model it and go on.
Well, we'll tell you this much. They are still looking as far as the prices for the fire truck, and as another company call and say, hey, we can save you this amount of money.
Well, for the fire truck, we would have to put out an invitation for bid for anything that we do. So whatever comes back.
Can't go contractor. We have to, because that cost, we have to put the bids up. But those companies can certainly bid on it.
Right. Well, then they're
going to get a better rate, you think that?
I think so. Yes, sir.
And that, well, that will
include them in the bidding.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Well, yeah, we do that on every fire truck purchase.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, every single fire truck purchase is done by invitation bid.
Well, what we do, there's either cooperative contracts that we're writing for certain cooperative contracts, say contract, or it's an invitation for bid.
So, CIP, again, you only put in the tax rate, you only put $150,000 in the tax rate.
Little MRR.
MRR, you didn't put much of anything. You put 150 for the schools, and you put 200 in reclassified that's already spent money for county,
yep.
208, but there's nothing in the cash budget.
Yep.
And we normally have a wedge of at least 150 to 200 in there each year in cash budget.
Yep.
So you're, from the things we fund cash, 125 for the sheriff's vehicles, 200 for the county CRM, another 50 for the school CRM, so you're 375, 425.
We're normally about 600,000.
Yeah, about 600,000. Plus the 400,000 you're taking out of fund balance, you're $1 million off on cash from where you're going.
Less.
Okay. $1 million less revenue sponsored.
Less tax
cash
revenue.
Fund that's less. Supporting it. And again, that's all attributable to Zion Crossroads, the maintenance contract, the pay raises, and the health insurance costs, you know, operations. So.
Well, I'd say 93.9, and do we have to do with fund balance?
What's the difference between 93.9 and 94?
Symbolic.
0.1%.
Yeah. And why?
Well, again, no, we haven't had any comments at all. You know, it's been advertised at 94.5. All we're doing is we're playing with fund balance. We have a low fund balance.
Several speakers advocate for schools.
So I'm personally not a big fan of using fund balance. But and I don't think we're going to get 5 votes on this one. So.
Nope. I agree.
I'm happy putting out 94.5 and, you know, eliminating as much out of fund balance. But if we don't get 3 votes for that, then we're keep on moving from that standpoint. So
93.9, that's where you're at. 87 plus 315, so essentially 400,000.
Ms. Ager?
I'm not going to go to 94.5. You knew that.
I knew that. Yeah.
Surprising. and I'm having trouble with 93.9. But we'll have to see what other people say.
Well, you know, I've been saying 94.
I know
so,
you have.
But I'll do, and I've said 94. Two things I've said. I said what we advertised. I've already that in 94. But if I'll go along with the majority, this 93.9.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's always important if the board shows as much consensus as possible.
Right.
So, I will go with 93.9 is your break even.
Right.
If we're contentious, everybody's going to be contentious.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I will go along with that.
So
but again, I want to highlight that we're just really playing games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We are.
What do you think?
I think it's too much. That's what I think.
Okay.
So we are 93.9?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I make a motion. We set the rate at 93.9.
So.
Second.
You want to take a break?
We're going to take a break. Let's go to close.
When you think you're ready to adopt that, we'll then break now because we have to go put it together, and then you'll come back and do actual motions and all that because you've got a.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we don't make the motion now.
No, I mean if you're done, then break. Take recess for.
Before we break, I'd like to recognize all those young people in the back. It certainly is nice to see y'all. I know some of y'all have come straight from practices. Coach Pace has y'all working hard in here.
And even have, we even have losing kind of students here tonight, too.
I know we do. We've already had a conversation.
Great. She likes we're a more exciting board than the Louisa board.
And that is on record. All righty.
Okay.
Mr. O'Brien, closed session.
Closed session.
Yes.
And then we'll make the most, you all can work it up.
We'll be in closed session when we come back. Hopefully they'll be ready to go, and then we'll see where we're at.
Okay,
Mr. Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A2. 8A8 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel matters and legal matters.
Second. Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Chair.
All right, Mr. O'Brien.
I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from an open meeting requirement under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien? Aye. Chair votes aye. We are now back in open session, and we are going to go to Action Matters, County Staff Pay Plan, Policy Revision. Ms. Rice?
I know it's only been a week, but we want to change the policy after last week.
What?
We'll explain that.
Oh, okay.
Quickly.
This will be really quick. So last week there was a decision made to kind of put some standardization into the way that we apply cost of living increases, and what we found was there was some clarification needed as far as probation, who's on probation and how do we apply that. The intent of it is actually just to apply it for the folks that are still on their initial employment probation. We have some cases where people are being promoted within, and when they go to a new position, they start over on a different probation for that period. But we didn't want to include them in the exemption. Does that make sense to everybody? So what we're looking to do is just have this bottom box right here to help clarify what the intent of that whole probation piece is as we apply the cost of living increase. So what would happen is you must be on board for 6 months before the start of the raise, which is still the same as last week, and then and have completed their new county employee probation period. So you're no longer a new hire.
Okay, but what is the count as probationary period? 3 months, six months, 1 year?
Yes.
What is it?
Depends on the position and your experience.
We base it on the type of employee that's hiring. So if we're hiring someone that's been in county government for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. we probably do a 6 month probation.
Okay.
When we hire a new employee, most new employees that have not worked in county government or it's their first, you know, first or second job, they go on 1 year probation. Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, I'll use Ms. Smith as an example, and there are others. Ms. Smith was on board for about a year last year as an IT technician. Her probation, her initial probation was 1 year and it ended in December. In January, she got hired as the emergency management coordinator, and she was put on 6 months probation because it's a new job. She's already had a preliminary. So she meets the 6 months on board, but didn't meet the off probation period because she's on a new probation period. We didn't really intend to have every probation period that ever comes up. It's the initial employee probation period. So that's why we clarified that second sentence there. And that applies to all departments. So if you've got an employee that's already a county employee, and they get promoted, you're not asking them to be excluded from stuff. They just have to meet the 6 months and bend down to their initial probation. If you hire them for a promotion, you must have some good reason why you think their performance has been good. And so that's the exception. And that would apply to all departments.
And when you say initial, you're talking about with their first hire.
Right, first hire.
The
right.
First hire. So the second hire doesn't count against them.
Three times while they're here, Marianne's been three jobs, four times. we certainly don't intend to say, well, okay, you're not included, because she already went through initial probation. An average county employee. We know she's a good county employee, but same with others in other departments. We didn't intend it to exclude existing employees,
right.
But when we looked at it, we tried to brainstorm this. That's
yeah, good. But. Okay. I come in, and I'm on a 6 month.
Yep.
And Mary Jane comes in and she said, I only have 3 months. Where in here do you explain the criteria that says you have a 3, 6, or year?
There's none. In their hiring employment letter.
It is in the letter.
It says what employer where they are, what level they are, what their pay is.
Okay, and you will be on probation for 3 years.
It says that in every one. When they get the first eval, the 90-day eval, when
okay.
they get the annual eval, that's in every letter we do in the county.
As stated in your county letter.
So if they have a one-year probationary period, they would not qualify.
If someone were on a one-year probation period now, and they've been here 9 months, and the probation doesn't end for a year, on July 1st, if they're still on that probation, they're not eligible, even though they've been here more than 6 months. You have to meet both criteria. And that's a very limited number of people, but largely it's a new hire. If I hire somebody in April,
It takes care of the ones who are being promoted from within.
Right, exactly.
That's the biggest thing right. that it does. It allows them to get the
exactly. It is for the promotions within because they've already been through a county probation period.
An initial new hire period.
All righty.
And so, and the dollars are nominal. They're not going to change any of this because there'll be ups and downs, but it doesn't change your budget. So that's the policy. So there's a motion if you.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a revised county staff pay plan as stated below. Must be on board 6 months before the start of the raise and have completed their new county employee probation period.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passed 5-0.
Thank you.
Yes, and we've already done everything else,
yep.
correct?
Yep.
All righty, do we have a motion?
So here's the resolution that you would be adopting. And it's the standard language, but these are the rates for the various tax rates. And their total budget dollar value is in that line. It's the same resolution you do every year, but the numbers change. And so it's got your total budget, the tax rates, and then various categories of dollars within that total budget.
Alrighty.
So that's the resolution. And the total is that 77,294?
591.
And this motion is what adopts that resolution and sets your tax rates and the budget dollars.
Do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled a resolution to adopt the FY19 operations budget and set the tax rates and appropriate funds.
Do we have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-1.
Second one is the CIP, and same basic thing. You've got a resolution that lists the CIP dollars that are approved, the plan that's approved for fiscal year 2019 to 2023, and then the vote from the board. And the dollars, of course, are included in your budget documents already. So there's the motion.
I move the Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Adoption of FY 2019 through 2023 Capital Improvements Plan.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
And then the rest of the agenda says a lot of nuns.
All righty. Public comment will now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, please approach the chair and state your name and address. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time? I saw you answering back here, Mr. Payne. Come on up, sir. After Mr. Payne.
I wasn't planning to say anything tonight, Mike. Tom Payne, 345 Payne Lane, Troy, Virginia. I want to thank everybody for all the hard work. I know it's been a hard budget year. I've been a lot of the sessions, and y'all have done a lot of thanking, the staff and so forth. Y'all have worked hard. Thank everybody for that. The only thing I'd like to say, just going back to your early discussion as far as health insurance and so forth, you county employees, and when I say county employees, I'm talking everybody, school system, otherwise. As far as I'm concerned, they're one of the most important assets that we have in Blue Banner County. And I don't care what you do, the thing you don't want to do is send those people backwards, mm-hmm. pay-wise. I can remember a time in Blue Banner that we were a training ground for everybody. It didn't make any difference whether you were in the school system, the sheriff's department, on staff, or wherever, social services. The people come to Blue Banner, work, get some experience under the belt, and they were going elsewhere. And, you know, we've finally gotten our salaries up to where we are somewhat competitive. So whatever we do, I know it's tough budget-wise, but let's not go backwards. Look out for our employees and always treat them right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jack Byers. I live at the lake. And when I first heard about Lake Monticello about 8 years ago, and without digressing too long, I lived in Alexandria for 34 years. Nobody knows this place exists down here. And so we found out about it through some relatives who now live down here. I looked at the tax rate, it was approximately 56 cents, I think about that, 100. I now see it about 50%, maybe 60%, higher than that over 8 years. And not only on top of that, I'm looking at a property value increase, an assessment increase. So we homeowners, especially those of us such as myself and many of my neighbors, by the way, who are on fixed incomes because we are retired, now get a double whammy. We'd like you to reconsider some of this, and perhaps it's time this county got more industry in here, something to pay this bill. Corn, soybeans, and wheat ain't going to pay the bill, folks. We've got a very large school that costs an awful lot of money and it's taking up a lot of our resources. We've got to get something in here besides just resident and personal property to pay these bills. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Is there anyone wish to speak? Anyone else at this time? Seeing no one else, I'll now close the second round of public comment.
Mr. Chair, just a comment on behalf of staff. I really appreciate the hard work the board did this year, too. This is obviously a difficult budget year, but staff worked hard to present all the alternatives and options, and I really appreciate the time you all took to came in to meet one-on-one and the time you took during work sessions, because I think the public deserves you all to speak, and you have the entire budget work session, and talk about your ideas and your concepts and how you think about it, whether you are supportive or not supportive. But it really helps staff when you do that, and I know that's a good benefit to our community. So thank you on behalf of all our staff.
And Mr. Chair, I'd like to say that I would not feel very well to leave Mr. Byers hanging with his comments that he made.
I would love that he would come and speak.
Talk to our county administrator, talk to his Mr. Tony.
Maybe, could be,
but he needs to know what we're doing, how we got here,
yes,
and
ma'am.
All that, so that I think he would feel better. I hope he would.
And so, you know, part of the tax increase that we explained, 3 cents. Was the improvement to the radio 911 system, which of course is really vital and important to ensuring safety for our citizens. And it's a program that we've had and planned for almost a decade, I guess now. And the other part of the increase was primarily due to bringing water to Zion's Crossroads, which we've already seen in the last month, that it's helped to attract a business that is gonna hire 40 to 50 people and will help to reduce the tax burden on homeowners. So, we recognize the problem that Mr. Byers is talking about, and it's painful for us to have to raise the taxes. But by the same token, we also, you know, have to make the investments that are necessary in order to help to balance that tax base.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you.